Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Welcome back. We're so excited. Today, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Hadley Garrison. She is a certified Ayurvedic health counselor, and she has an MPH in health behavior, a BS in biopsychology, and specifically, she is a health coach for energy optimization. So welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. I love today's conversation because I feel like God plants seeds throughout our lives. And you're like, why am I going to connect with this person? You know, you never know who you're going to meet, right? And so for a little background story, I met Hadley at Christmas caroling last Christmas because my friend Tyler invited Nick and I to go. She's really good friends with Tyler and Ray. So if you're in San Diego, maybe you've seen them on Instagram or have gotten to know them. But and then literally I was looking for more guests that could really like support the podcast. And I posted on Threads and you reached out and I was like, oh, my gosh, look here, our words are colliding. And I'm just so excited to one, I got to meet you there and spend time with you in like a different setting. And now we get to like really get to know you. I think what's one of the beautiful things about the in-person recordings that we are now doing is prioritizing deep depth and presence and connection. So I'm so excited for today's episode.
So good. Yeah, I love that we met doing Christmas caroling too, because I was just saying before we started recording that I'm a big Christmas person.
Yeah, we love the holidays.
We love the holidays.
Yes. So I love it. Just like so serendipitous. And then almost a year later, like
literally a couple months away.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I know. It's so fun.
So good.
Talk to us a little bit about what energy optimization means. And we're going to talk about all the subjects that we mentioned about your bio. But yeah, let's start with that and just what that means and how we can really like harness our energy.
Totally. So I've been a health coach for the past 6 years. And I have really realized, even within like the last year, that the thing that I'm most excited about with health coaching is when my clients go from feeling like they don't have the kind of energy levels that they want to have to, you know, getting to a place where they feel like they have all of this overflow of energy, where they have so much more capacity and bandwidth, they have so much more resilience to everything that kind of comes up in their life. And so I realized that that's really my, you know, quote unquote niche is like, how do we actually get to a place where we have the kind of energy levels that we want to have? Because, you know, I'm a health coach. I love health, all things health. But what's the point, really? Like, what's the point of health? The point is to feel the way that we want to feel and to have the kind of exuberance for life that we want to have. And so I often find that when my clients get their health habits down, get the lifestyle, their routines, all of that good stuff down, they suddenly have so much more bandwidth to live their purpose, live their passion. And so that's what I'm most excited about.
Ooh-wee. I love this conversation because that's
health too.
Yeah. One, we're obsessed with health. And for this exact reason, you know, I think when I first started doing this work into like finding who I am, what does it look like for me to create the life that I want? You know, really showing up as my fullest expressed self in all areas. You know, I'm a speaker on burnout for this exact reason. And I talk a lot about this from like optimizing your nervous system to gain capacity. But a huge part to like my process has been like, okay, I have the habits. I have the nervous system to create capacity for. And there was always this missing piece as the health part, which is what you're talking about, because it basically puts, in my opinion, it just puts everything on steroids. It's like, whoa, I can feel so much better. For example, like recently, I've been talking to her a lot. We talked about it on this podcast. Like I got on progesterone. I've been optimizing my hormones, which I'm so excited, even taking iron because I've been low on iron. And you can just feel a massive difference in your day. And as I get older, and I just turned 32. Like, I'm not like 40 or 50. So I think we can start thinking about this so much sooner. I think people start to think about this when I'm in my 40s and my 50s and my 60s and be like, I can't show up the same. But like, I realized that I wasn't showing up at my best even at 32. And I was like, okay, so now I prioritize like, well, how can I have so much energy all the way down to like our nightly routine, to how I treat myself the day before, because feeling good is so special. And it's rare too when you haven't felt that good before or you haven't felt that level of energy before. You're like, ooh, I want to tap out at that as consistently as I can throughout my life. And I know as women, we don't get to because of our hormones, but what if we could optimize as much as possible so we can be our fullest self, which it sounds like what you're doing through health. Fair?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And something that you were talking about and something that comes up a lot is like people a lot of times ask me about time management. And I'm like, you actually don't need time management. You need energy management.
Yeah.
You need to actually get to a place where you feel the kind of energy that you want to have. And then like time management becomes irrelevant because you're able to do so much in your life and in your work and in all the things that you really want to be pursuing. And the other thing is like, you know, we have all these things that we like want to have success with, but what's the point? Like, what's the actual point of success except to feel that we want the way that we want to feel? And so, and we think that success is going to get us to that place where we feel how we want to feel, but really it comes down to our daily habits, and that's the thing that makes us feel the way that we want to feel. So true.
Amazing. So let's, something that I loved when I connected earlier was talking a lot about what you, in the wellness space or in the health space, you can come up against like, well, they say I should be doing this and I should be doing that and I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And it's like, what is your take on that? Because I would love your opinion on this, because I think you really break that down a little bit in a much more palatable way for people to understand.
Totally. Yeah. That was my biggest frustration in the wellness space. Like I was so, you know, I was like, I would see everything on Instagram and, you know, this was a number of years ago. So like it was a little bit before I started listening to even like podcasts and stuff, but like I would watch like seminars and like workshops and things like that. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, there's all of these different things that I should be doing. Like even meditating, I should be meditating.
Exactly.
And it literally made me more stressed. I started meditating when I was a sophomore in college. I was literally in my sorority house in college, like going to like the quiet room and trying to meditate. And I would be like, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this right for 20 minutes. And then be like, I'm more stressed now.
I feel worse.
Yeah. So like, there is nothing that is the exact right medicine for every single person at every single time. And now I love meditating and it does wonders for me. And, you know, I usually use like different types of meditation that are more like nervous system regulation and that kind of thing rather than the meditation that I was using before. So even that, there's no one size fits all for the type of meditation or food or exercise or whatever. And so that's where I love Ayurveda. Ayurveda is really helpful to help us decide or to kind of like suss out, oh, okay, I actually have this mind-body type and it's different from my friend who has a completely different body type and also like mental, like constitution in general. And so in Ayurveda, it kind of is broken down into these three different types, but anyone can have an imbalance of all three of any of the three. So for one person who has a lot of, let's just say, it's called Vata and
I was saying,
Pitta.
Yeah.
Yes,
like
Pitta. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah. So if you want, do you want me to like break it down?
Tell them about it. Yeah.
Okay. So there's three different mind-body types. They're called doshas in Ayurveda. And the first one is Vata. And well, I'll break it down in terms of the elements first, because sometimes that's a lot easier.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah.
So, and I usually like put it on, there's five elements. I put it on my five fingers so that we can kind of like see it as a visual for anyone who's watching. If you're listening, it's okay. Like I'll still explain it in a way that you can understand. So the first is space or ether, which is basically the absence of all of the other elements, the absence of everything. It's like outer space. It's like a black hole. Like there's nothing. Then there's air, which is more like wind, movement of air. And then, so those are the first two elements. The third element is fire. And then the fourth element is water. And then we have earth. So, you know, fire, water, earth, those ones are a little bit more easy to understand. The first dosha is made up of ether or space and air or wind. And that's called vata. And so someone who has a lot of air and ether in their constitution, well, I'll ask you guys, like, what do you think someone who has a lot of air and ether in their constitution, what do you think they would be like?
Anxiety, lots of thoughts, lots of mind energy.
I like mind energy, airy.
Yeah.
Kind of spacey.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Exactly. Like literally in spacey.
Yeah, literally
like spacey.
Yeah, the way that we describe people, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So I find that like describing it from the elements can make it really easy.
Totally.
Got it. Same with like, what about physically? What if you have a lot of air and ether in your like physiology?
I think thin on the thinner side, like maybe smaller bone structure.
Totally.
Like more flat, like delicate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like a butterfly.
Yeah.
Yes. Like my Vata friends are like butterflies. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And what about if you're out of balance with, if you have like a lot of air like trapped in your body, what might happen with that?
I don't know.
Like, what about in your digestion? If you have air trapped in
your
digestion?
Gas.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of gas.
Gas, bloating, constipation, like all of that stuff. And then if you have air like trapped in your joints, it's going to be like popping joints. Even like can be as far as like arthritis and, you know, weak joints, that kind of thing too. You know, there's dryness in general. So if you about like, something that has a lot of wind blowing against it, like if you're outside in the wind, your skin's going to get dry. So dryness in general in the body, as well as like movement, mobility, all of that stuff, that's Vata. So if you think about like sometimes people have a lot of energy and then they like kind of burn it out really, really
fast.
That's what happens with people who have a lot of Vata. However, anyone can have an imbalance of Vata, and I'll go into that, or an imbalance of all of them, and I'll go into that next. So let's do Pitta, though. Pitta is
fire.
Yes.
I'm Pitta, too. We're both Pittas, I think.
I am, too.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
The ambitious girlies tend to be.
Yeah.
Or tend to have, like, more Pitta in their constitution. So everyone has all three of the doshas, but everyone's born with, like, proportion of
look at a dominance.
So I like to look at it as like a pie. Yeah. So like the biggest slice of my pie is Pitta, and then I have Kapha is my like secondary slice of my pie, and then Vata is the smallest slice of my pie. But I still have it. Like I have really small wrists. That's the Vata thing. Like it's, you know, so but everything else pretty much about me is like Pitta and Kapha.
I was gonna say, I was like, that sounds really familiar to me. I was like, because I have really small wrists. I'm like very delicate in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm very grounded and fiery. So
So you have all of them. Yeah. Everyone has all of them. And again, anyone can go out of balance with all of them too. So we'll talk about that next. But so Pitta is fire. What do you think for someone who has a lot of fire in their constitution?
If you're in balance, like faster metabolism.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Like more
hot
into, running more hot.
They run heat like warmer.
Yeah, totally.
Loud.
Totally.
Loud. Yes. A lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy, energetic.
Yes, definitely. We also tend to be more like type A, where we, and a little bit of perfectionism as well, where it's like we want things to be right. We have high expectations. We're ambitious. We want to. So, yes. And then what about like physically? So running hot is one. Anything else that you can think of physically?
I think like muscular.
Yes. Yeah. Really easy to put on muscle mass with Pitta. And then tends to be more just like
athletic,
not short, but athletic build. That's kind of like medium frame, essentially.
Hmm.
Whereas Vata tends to have a smaller frame. Kapha tends to have a bigger frame. That's the one we'll talk about next. And so Pitta is more like in the middle. Another thing about Pitta is the like imbalance is like, what do you think of if you think there's like a lot of fire going on in your physiology?
I don't know. I'm like trying to think.
What about digestion?
Yeah, maybe.
Could it be related to like high acid?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. So anything that feels like burning.
Yeah. I was going to say like Thai stomach acid, like acid reflux,
indigestion. Like totally. I was like,
has he related to like
acid
has,
for
it's
sure.
Fire. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Anything that feels like burning.
Like I'm getting tested.
Pizza.
Yeah. I'm like, where's my, where's my, everything that I've learned with health at?
Yeah.
Totally. I got yoga certified when I was 18. So I learned a little bit about this. So I know like the doshas and, but I'm loving this like refresh and the way you frame it. It's really good.
Yeah, I find that like having other people answer it, it helps them actually retain it.
About it. Yeah,
yeah. Because for they're sure. like, oh, it's a duh. It's not like I'm just telling you and you're like, now I need to memorize this. It's like, of course, that's what it would be in the body, you know? And so same with like any inflammation.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say inflammation. Yeah,
is fire, right? Any sort of inflammation in the body, same with like any redness on the skin or anything like that, pitta. It's all red, fiery, all that.
Rashes,
acne, all of it. Yes. And then kapha is water and earth. And when we mix water and earth, what do we get?
Clay.
Yeah. We get like mud. We get like this sticky substance that's really dense.
Oh, yeah, mud.
Yeah. Yeah. Or clay.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on.
I guess it depends on the dirt.
Yeah. Totally. But yeah, so kapha tends to be, well, I'll ask you, like, if someone had a lot of water and earth in their constitution, how might they show up in the world?
Slow,
and moving,
heavy. Yeah. I feel like you're like
dragging,
low energy.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not in balance.
Yeah, totally. What about when it's in balance? What about the people who are like, they're in balance, they're just like a kapha mama, like they're
stable.
Just,
they're stable, consistent, totally. Grounded, reliable,
yeah.
Consistent.
Loyal. Like loyal. They're like the friends that like really we want to have, you know? It's like the people who are going to be the ones
like
to give
Boston,
you a hug.
My husband.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Like,
a kapha so for good. Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's like this really grounded energy.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's Nick.
Yeah, that's Nick too.
Yeah, totally. I love it. So yeah, so kapha is, and then, so it can get so grounded that it gets stuck, right? So that's like the imbalance.
It's like, yep, check. No, that's in. No, just kidding.
So yeah, so when it gets out of balance, we tend to get like stuck in the mud, right? Literally, it's mud. So what about in like physically, what could come up like in like digestion?
First thing I think about is like not good poops.
Yeah, constipation.
Totally.
Constipation.
Like
slow digestion. Yeah, like hunger.
Hunger.
Not a lot of hunger.
Not a lot. Yeah, no, like low appetite.
Yes, and then, that's the word.
Appetite. Yeah, totally. So yeah, not actually feeling hungry, but maybe overeating because you're just like, well, I don't know, like maybe I should eat. I don't know. Which been there before for sure. And so the constipation is interesting because constipation can be a vata thing or a kapha thing. So vata, it's like trapped air, you know, you feel bloated and constipated. Whereas kapha, you might just, it's just slow and sticky and like it's not moving out. It's just like really, really slow. And the same goes for, in the mind, it's like we can feel more like lethargy and that kind of thing. So in terms of energy and like, when we're trying to manage our energy and stuff, the way that we feel a depletion of energy is different for the different types, the different doshas. So kapha is going to be different from vata because when we have a vata depletion of energy, we feel like we have nothing left. We feel like we are like weak and depleted in that way. Whereas with a kapha low energy, it feels more like an over fullness and a lethargy, a sluggishness. So with vata, it's more like, oh my God, I have literally nothing. It's like a hollowness kind of feeling inside. It's a subtle difference, but if we can understand that, then we can understand how to balance out the doshas in order to increase energy. Because if you have a lot of kapha and you are just feeling really slow and sluggish and lethargic, and you've had like maybe 10 hours of sleep last night and you're like, I'm just so tired, I'm going to sleep more. That's actually going to make you feel more tired.
Hmm.
Whereas for vata, I've also seen on Instagram or on social media that it's like, okay, if you feel tired, maybe you just need to go do like a high intensity workout. And that would be maybe effective for kapha, but that's not going to be effective for Vata. It's going to make you feel more depleted.
Yeah.
So understanding that is really, really, really helpful.
Yeah. As you're talking about that, makes me think about like Nick and I, for example, especially when it comes to our sleep. He always communicates, like if he oversleeps like 1 or 2 hours, he's just done for the rest of the day. And I'm always like, babe, just take a quick nap. And he's like, that doesn't work for me. Every time I do that, I just feel worse. And versus myself, if I don't have enough sleep, a nap is everything that I need. I like
Same.
Wake yeah. up and I'm like, all right, I feel refreshed. Let's yeah. go tackle the day. Like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever my body needs. I'm like, it does better for me than negative. But for Nick, it's the opposite, which I feel like really aligns with what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For me, I find that it depends. If I have a kapha imbalance, then I will feel worse after I wake up from the nap. Or if I have vata or pitta imbalance, usually like I feel better after the nap. So like it varies from person to person, and it varies like day to day too. And, you know, week to week, month to month, depending on where you're out of balance too. So it's helpful to know all of the doshas as well, because you can go out of balance with any of them.
And I'd imagine too, because as women, we have such a diverse cycle.
Yes.
It's going to be a different dosha depending on what phase of your cycle you're in too.
Yes. Yeah. And also like the seasons impact us too. So we were just talking about how San Diego doesn't really have very, very extreme seasons. But it still subtly does
they still
impact
shifts.
Us.
Yeah.
Yes, subtle for sure. Shift. For sure. And so like, in the fall, it does, the air becomes a lot drier and it does become a little cooler at least and darker. And so like, you know, when there's more darkness too, all of that is Vata. So we're in Vata season, we're coming into Vata season at the time of this recording right now. And during Vata season, we want to do some things to like balance that out too. We might feel more dry and potentially more like bloating and that kind of thing. We might feel more scatterbrained. Might feel more anxious, and so we can do things to balance all of that stuff out.
So you're saying take a tropical vacation.
I'm going to go to where it's humid.
There we all yeah, want right, to run away right. and be like, all right, I'm over it.
So tell me, which place should I be in each season?
Yeah, right. Totally. And it depends on the person too. Some people, like someone who has a ton of kapha in their constitution, probably would love to live in the desert because it's hot and it's dry. And so someone that has more like the water and the earth elements, especially the water element, they're going to thrive in a place that feels more dry.
Earth, yeah.
Interesting. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel more like I'm pitta vata and I'm not a desert person really.
Right.
Like I don't feel great totally. In the desert or yeah. I don't feel pulled to it. I like it, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't be my first destination.
I will say same. I don't like the desert, but whenever I'm there, my hair and my skin feel good.
Ah, interesting.
So, like, I don't know if you've okay. noticed that. Like, my hair, I'm like, wow, I could actually be in this. Mm-hmm. My skin feels really good. That's why, like, when you go to Costa Rica and it's, like, humid, I'm like, wow, I look my best. Like, yes, maybe I don't want to be it all the time, but I can feel my body, like it. You know what I mean?
But that's more humid,
it's
right?
It's more humid. Costa Rica's more humid, yeah. but sometimes it could be hot. I mean, it's, like, hot humid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thrive in that.
Totally. Me too.
But I try and pay attention to, like, okay, how does my body feel? Or, like, how's my hair? Honestly, it's just more, like, my hair and my skin.
Yeah.
How do I look?
This is all the lies.
Because it does change.
That's, you know,
like, you go to different climates, yeah. and my hair goes flat, or like, mm-hmm. you know, like, or certain hairs. Like Rochelle, for example, one of our friends, she loves the desert because her hair always stays, versus like she's here in San Diego and it never stays. Yeah. And she's like,
exactly.
It gets all frizzy and stuff. And her, she's like, wow, I could just be in this forever.
Uh huh. Yeah. So. And so it totally depends on like our constitution and our lifestyle too. So like actually, if we're doing a ton of traveling during Vata season, even if we're going to places that like are hot and humid, we might get more depleted because travel and movement all the time is depleting.
That's all Vata too, right?
Yeah. It's very Vata. So it's going to be more, get us more out of balance with Vata too. So it's interesting.
I kind of want to double down a little bit, and we don't have to go too much into this, but like talk about the season. So something that like Nick, my partner, is also a holistic health practitioner, and he talks so much about how you should change the way that you eat, the kinds of food that you eat. And you kind of started talking about that. Like, so what are some things that we can support ourselves, especially because these episodes are probably going to drop like more fall and winter. And I think naturally in the past, for example, for myself, I used to like fear fall and winter because I'm like, I'm going to fall into like a very depressive state. It's so gloomy. Like maybe this helps someone that's in the wintertime, you know, and like I kind of had a little bit of PTSD going into like the wintertime, especially when I got aware of like, oh my gosh, I do have seasonal depression. And then last year I welcomed it better. I was like, all right, we're going into my death and rebirth, whatever this looks like. Like I changed my like perspective or my relationship to fall and winter. And would love your comments on that. And like, what can we do to support ourselves in these seasons? Because we do have less sun. We're not spending as much time outside. Things are just changing. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's so fascinating in the wellness space that we're not having as much of this conversation because our bodies change from season to season. And if you're like eating raw vegan all year long, your body is not probably going to be super excited about that. And especially if you live in like, I'm from Michigan. So if you live in Michigan in the dead of winter and you're eating like raw foods all winter long, I've had clients who are like, I feel like I eat healthy, but I feel actually maybe worse when I eat healthy than when I am eating like, you know, other things. And I'm like, what do you consider healthy? And they're like, well, like salads and smoothies. And I'm like, well, it's January.
you need way more.
You live in Michigan.
Yeah. I feel like the people that thrive that I've seen that are raw vegan live in Hawaii and Florida.
Yes, exactly.
Like year round.
Yes, totally. Yeah. And that works for, when you live in those places.
Yeah.
But if you look like around the world, our bodies have adapted ancestrally for generations and generations and generations to the types of foods that we were living in the season that we were living in. So like in the winter and in the fall, bringing in more of the foods like even animal protein and bringing in more, you know, if you're going to do animal protein, I would say like slow cooked because that's easier to digest for the body.
Nick gets so mad at me because he always is like, Krenna, you're cooking it too fast. I'm like, I don't have enough time. I got to go. And he's like,
funny.
You're not going to be able to digest your food. I'm like, okay, oh babe, Mr.
You guys
see this would be friends. Like literally my life, he's like, I don't want to. Sometimes he'll make his meat like not fully cooked. And I'm like, but I like it a little bit more cooked. He's like, then you're not going to digest it well. I'm like,
You know, I'm like, okay. And then I'm hearing you speak. I'm like, damn, he's so fucking great.
Totally. In those moments. I'm like, yes. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, for sure. So bringing in more of the things that our ancestors would have eaten during these times of year is going to be really helpful. It, like what's in season right now? Root vegetables, things that are going to be more like soupy, stewy, that kind of stuff. Spiced things are going to be really helpful. So like not eating as many salads and smoothies and that kind of thing this time of year.
Like a smoothie in Michigan in the winter? That's
But people
brutal.
Have been told that that's what's healthy. Yeah.
The other part to this, like people like routine. Like that's something when I was really stuck on like my health eating habits, I was like, I'm basically going to eat the same thing every day, every single week because one, I want to lose weight. I want to gain weight, whatever that was when I started my healing journey. And so I like routine. It's easy. There's not much thought to it. And so what you're talking about is really creating the openness to changing based off your season. And that can also be a challenge for people.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that feels a lot harder. I already know what I'm supposed to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I eat this for breakfast and lunch and dinner every single day.
Totally. Yes.
You know?
So it's so true. So I like to look at it as like very small tweaks that we can do. So for example, a lot of times I'll have like chia pudding for breakfast throughout the summer. It's really awesome. It's very balancing for pitta. I'll put like blueberries in it and some almond butter drizzled over the top with some like maybe some nuts or whatever and coconut flakes, especially in the summer because that's all cooling. That's great for pitta season when it's hot and there's fire. Like that's the element. So in the fall, like this morning I woke up and it was colder. Like it's, which I was very excited about. Yeah. Yeah, colder. It was like 68.
I'm like, ooh, it's fall.
It's fall weather. So I just heated it up. Literally all I did that was different was I heated it up. And that was it. So you can do really small things too. Even like if you're like, well, I want to eat, you know, my bowl, my salad, whatever. What I do in the fall and the winter, like my go-to is mostly like a salad in the summer, but in the fall and the winter, it's going to be like basically cooked salad.
Yeah.
It's like
warm vegetables
and
stuff.
Cooking some greens and some root veggies or whatever, and maybe having like a grain or something in there or meat or whatever, and having basically the same thing, but warmed. And
switching up maybe the type of vegetable or the type of fruit or whatever it is based on the season too. But the concept can remain the same. So it doesn't have to be so much mental energy because it's like, okay, I can just throw this thing together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing about like cooking too. Like people think, oh, you're a health coach. You must be like an amazing chef. And I'm like, no, not at all. Not an amazing chef, but I get the job done every day of my life. And that's what I teach my clients is like, it doesn't have to be, a lot of times we think of food needing to be this like, I have to find a recipe and I have to make it this whole big thing. And then when we don't do that, when we haven't had the time to go to the grocery store and get every single ingredient for this recipe that we want to make or whatever, we're like, well, I don't know what to do, so I'll just order out or I'll go out to eat instead or whatever. And so my goal with my clients is to help them figure out, okay, what do I have in the fridge or the freezer, or, you know, what kinds of foods can I keep on hand in the freezer too, which is nice, that I can just whip up, throw together. And once they have done that, I'm like, you've made it. It's like, yes, this is exactly what my goal is for you, is to just not make it such a big deal.
And I think I love that you're speaking to, there's just so many opinions about what you should eat and meats and how you should eat and all these things. And it's like what you're speaking to is more, okay, I don't need to tell you, you need to eat 8 ounces of chicken and this and that, like so specific. But if you understand the seasons, like this is an ancient practice that has been carried down for, I mean, you know better than me, but I know it's been around for a very long
thousands of
years. Yes, thousands
yeah,
of
literally,
years.
Yeah.
And instead we're like, no, we know better. Like I think a smoothie, you know, or whatever. And I think that that's, I love that you're speaking to that, right, Fair, that it's really more about just understanding the basics. It's not so important necessarily that you're like, oh, specific about every ingredient, but understanding what the purpose of it, of the meal is almost.
Totally. And a lot of times people look at, you know, the specific nutrients that they need to have. But, you know, if you're putting like a like protein powder in your smoothie with all of these like raw, you know, maybe probably frozen fruits and different things, that you might not even be able to assimilate that protein at all. Like, it,
yeah,
it might just,
or it absorb just, the nutrients.
Or it'll, yeah, right. Any of the vitamins, minerals, all of the things that go into it, you're not actually able to assimilate it unless you can digest it. And so it might just cause gas, bloating and constipation or diarrhea or whatever it is, you know, acid reflux, whatever, instead of giving you the things that you think that you're getting out of it. And so even supplements, if we can't digest the supplements that we're taking, if we're not effectively digesting our food and what comes in, you're just making
it's
expensive,
like wasteful. Pee. Yeah.
It's so true.
And it's I'm so glad you're talking to this.
And you're very yellow. No, just kidding. If you take B vitamins.
Well, I am taking a B complex right now that I really need. And I am a very yellow pea. And I'm like, it's working.
Yeah. Very expensive.
But you're talking to so much about this that I think I learned as well in my healing journey when I first started taking all these supplements, because everyone said,
it's good.
You need this. You need that. You see the ads, like, you know. Not trying to dig on my mom, but she sends me ads like, what do you think about seed? What do you think about A1? And what do you think about this?
Oh, yeah.
Such a mom thing.
You know, yes. And then she's asking me and Nick, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where your body's at. Like, I don't even want to make a recommendation anymore, because, like, unless we look at you as a whole being, like, it's really not fair. And that's the part where, like, marketing fucks us. Sorry. It just messes with us. You know, it's kind of like you see this thing and you're like, everyone says that it's working and that I need a probiotic and all this stuff. But you're talking to, like, you really got to get to a place where you can even absorb the nutrients of it.
Yeah.
Your body can even receive it. Does it feel safe to receive it? Which is a whole nother conversation around stress, right? Like all those things.
Totally. And yeah, and like so much of what I do is not at all related to food. Like it's literally, let's get into the rhythms of our body's actual nature and nervous system regulation and that kind of thing. But really getting those like basic circadian rhythm habits down, the really fundamental things. And we can make some really small tweaks that to our lifestyle, but also to the food that we're eating and to
even like the times of day that we're eating and all of that, that's going to impact us so much more than that superfood that, you know,
the chlorella that you're putting in your.
Yes, totally.
First time I met Austin, we lived in LA and he came to my house and I had a cupboard full of powders and supplements. And he was like, you need to throw all this out. What is this? Are you a witch? Like, what's happening here?
I love it. My husband calls me a witch all the time.
I feel like you do a little concoction in the corner and be like, couple candles lit. All right, I'm feeling it.
Yeah. He's like, are you sick? What is all this? What's up?
So funny.
But it's true. It's like so hard to know. Like you want to optimize your energy to feel your fullest expression. But then, you have all these opinions. And so what are some ways that we can like get back into like intuition within ourselves or tap back in? Like, what are some of the things you tell your clients to help them get to that place where they're like, they don't have a cupboard filled with unnecessary powder?
Yes, I love it. So, and you know, to be clear, like, I love a good green powder. Like, you know, like,
I still have a cupboard of peas and powders.
Yes.
So it's
like,
okay.
You know, I love like the herbs and stuff can be really fun, but they're going to be ineffective unless you have the basics down. And so what I help my clients with, because a lot of times people know like that they should be sleeping more and that they should be like, you know, maybe that it really benefits them when they meditate and all that kind of thing, but they're not actually doing it. And that's where my behavior change background comes in, because that was my biggest frustration. Was I was like watching all these like workshops and seeing all these things on Instagram, and I was like, yeah, I know, but like, how do I actually do it?
It was like the knowledge without the implementation.
Like, how do I actually implement it?
Yes. So like all of my friends would come to me to like, you know, for food, you know, recommendations, nutrition stuff. Like I knew all of this stuff, but I was not doing it consistently. I was not like actually living it all the time. I would go really hardcore for like a few weeks and then completely like fall off the wagon and then back on and off and on and off. And
I'm like, who's listening? I can relate to that.
Yeah,
I
didn't know things. Right? Like the whole world to be like, it is January 1. I'm going to go. Or like, I'm over my shit. I'm going to do things right. And like, fine, I'll go and then go full like manic almost. Like
now I'm going to overhaul my entire life and do everything differently.
Yeah. And it's like this intensity, right? There's this like whole thing of like, now I have space and I'm going to do it all. So like, what does it look like to break that down?
Yeah. Well, and I would even be like, okay, once, you know, back when I was like in college and grad school, it was like once the school year starts, then I'll change everything. Or like, okay, once the school year ends and summer starts, then I'll change everything. And then, you know, and especially for pittas tend to be more intense about everything in general. So this is like a common pattern for us, but it can be for anyone too. So the biggest thing is to the first thing that I do with my clients is to like break them out of the all or nothing mindset. And that's not as, you know, that's easier said than done. Like we've all heard like moderation is key, but it's like, well, a lot of times we'll think, yeah, that's fine for other people, but like, I can just like do it right. I can just do it right the first time. And I'll just have more willpower. And then if I have more willpower, then that's all I need. I just need to be better, but that doesn't work. That's not the thing that works in behavior change science. And so having deep, deep wellspring of compassion for ourselves is what actually works. And not in a sense of like just giving up where it's like, well, I'll just like not do anything at all. And that was kind of a misconception that I had, even like with like the body positivity movement and the, you know, and really having like a connection with your body and like it being anti-diet culture and all of that kind of thing. I was like, yeah, but like I also want to be healthy. You know, like I get that there's no, that I'm not more worthy or whatever based on what my body looks like, but I also feel like crap. So how can we actually come to a place where we feel really good in our bodies while at the same time having compassion for ourselves that we don't need to be quote unquote perfect? And so really breaking down, like there is no perfect.
Yeah.
And the thing that helps my clients a lot is actually tuning into, okay, what's happening in my body right now and my mind? Like, what's actually going on? And so I do a lot of practices that are like kind of body scans and like, because a lot of times, I mean, I was so disconnected from my body. Like, I didn't know when I was hungry or when I was full or anything that was going on in my body. And I would rely on portion sizes or like calorie counting apps back when that was like a big popular thing, right?
What was it called? MyFitnessPal?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Every time I'm like, I'm going to start doing my fitness.
Yes. You probably lasted longer than me. I think I did it for a week and I was like, this is too much.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was so committed.
It's too much. Yes. I had a whole, like, there has to be another way.
Yes.
And there is. That's the cool thing is, so when we start to recognize, okay, I am feeling really, let's say I'm feeling really spacey and gassy, bloated, all of these things that are air qualities. What am I going to be able to do to actually ground that down? It's the opposite. The opposite qualities of what you are feeling are going to balance you out. So for Vata, which is the air and ether one, the dosha that is, you know, if you have the gas, bloating, spaciness, all of that stuff, the opposite quality is going to be like, you know, if you're dry, all of that is going to be wet, unctuous, grounding, and, you know, basically bringing things down, bringing things in and down. So root vegetables, things that are under the ground, seeds are under the ground. So seeds, grains, all of that kind of thing. Those are things that get planted under the ground. Those things are going to be more grounding. You know, meat and that kind of thing too is super grounding because it's like the densest thing, right, that we eat other than like processed foods. But so
we don't eat that on the show.
Yeah, right. You know, processed foods, we already know that that's like not going to serve us, but, and also there can be a time and a place for that too. Like, you know, in Ayurveda, the answer to every question is it depends. It's like anything can be medicine at any given time and anything can be poison at a different given time for a different person or even for the same person just at a different time. So yeah, so once we start to tap into, okay, so now if you're feeling really sluggish and lethargic and sticky, your digestion is slow, like all of that kind of thing, what are the opposite qualities that we're going to be able to enliven and invigorate? So the words that I like to use for the different doshas and for energy management is for Vata, the name of the game, if we're feeling a lot of air, ether, scatteredness, we want grounding and nourishing. Those are the, so what are going to be the foods like that are grounding and nourishing? Not just foods either, like what are the practices?
Exercises.
Totally. And for Vata, like a lot of times people are really drawn to yoga if they have a lot of Vata because they're really flexible. So like, because they have a lot of air in their bodies.
They need yin yoga maybe?
So they actually need strengthening because they have like smaller bones and stuff. They need things that are gonna build them
muscle
up.
And, yeah.
So yeah, so people a lot of times don't know that. And yin yoga too is great for Vata. It's even better for Pitta, which it's like the hardest for Pitta. It's like, oh my God, you're going to make me sit here for so long.
I have to hold this. Are we done with this pose yet? What's happening?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, so nourishing and grounding. Then for Pitta, because it's so fiery and, you know, intense, the words that I like to use are like soothing and cooling. And so the kinds of foods that are going to be soothing and cooling, well, I'll ask you guys, like what kinds of foods would be soothing and cooling?
I would think like mint.
Yeah.
Like herbs that are mint based.
Yeah, fresh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Fruits.
I would say fruit.
Yeah. So specifically like fruits that you're going to have in the summer or fruits that are going to be like tropical fruits, right? Like things that grow in the heat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, right.
Yeah. It's not complicated,
yes,
but
exactly.
We love to complicate things.
Exactly, yes. So like, you know, I'm not saying that in the dead of winter that if you're feeling more Pitta symptoms, like
you eat the pineapple.
So like, yeah, to like start eating watermelon, like it's going to be gross, first of all. And then, and also like, that's not the vibe. But you can bring in maybe some like, you know, coconut oil or dried coconut or whatever, just to like sprinkle on top of your grain bowl or whatever, or your chia or your oatmeal, that kind of thing. So there are little tweaks that we can make. Soothing and cooling. It's also like the kinds of exercises that we can be doing. Yin, soothing, very like slow, whatever. Swimming is great for Pitta. it cools us down and soothes and all of that. And then kapha, the words that I like to use are like invigorating and lightening. So because we feel really heavy, we want things that are going to feel more light and invigorating. So things obviously like leafy greens. Those are the parts of the plant that are literally hanging in the air. So like we've got the roots under the ground. We've got the leaves that are hanging in the air that are going to balance out heavy qualities. And then, you know, things that are more invigorating are like ginger, spices,
yeah,
things like that, that can really help move things along. So if we've got slow digestion or like getting sticky and sluggish, that can move things.
What about like cold plunge too? Because I feel like I don't love the cold plunge, but my husband does it every single day and he's more of a kapha energy. So it kind of, I like a sauna.
Yeah.
Which also totally. Now I'm thinking, is that good for fire? I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm curious for those kind of things, because, you know, everyone says you should sauna 5 times a week and you should cold plunge and you should do all these things. And
it varies.
Again, maybe it's not good for everyone all the time.
Exactly. It does. It totally varies. It can be helpful for, cold plunge could also be helpful for someone who has a lot of vata in their constitution, like especially if it's like really hot outside and, you know.
Okay.
But most of the people I know who have a lot of vata in their constitution are like, the cold plunge thing.
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if you have more kapha, that it's so invigorating. If you have a lot of vata in your constitution, you might wake up feeling more invigorated already anyway.
Right, with more energy.
And you get really cold really easily. Kapha, you can also get cold easily, but you have more insulation. You tend to have more insulation. And so doing the cold plunge is like great for especially like pitta kapha people. So like for me, I'm pitta and my secondary is kapha, and cold plunges do wonders for me. Love cold plunges. I don't do because of my kapha, like because I have more kapha too, the saunas can be good for me as well. But I will tend to do it on a lower temperature in the summertime than in the wintertime when it's colder. Same with like hot yoga. People are like, you know, doing hot yoga all summer long, and I'm like, and they have a bunch of pitta like problems already. And I'm like, well, maybe let's just do normal yoga for a little bit until it's like wintertime. So the cool thing about Ayurveda is that it just gives us tools to be like, here are the opposite qualities. Like, that's all. It's not a hard and fast rule where you have to eat this certain way. And this is your, I never like give someone like, this is your diet plan. Like,
yeah,
because I'm like that. First of all, a diet plan is actually not even going to be as effective for us. Like, you know, not to mention the fact that it also detaches us from like our relationship with our body and you know, perpetuates like diet culture and not really actually knowing what's going on with our body. But it also is not as effective because when we actually utilize our body intuition and some of the tools that we can learn with Ayurveda, that's when we're more effective at being able to change when the season changes.
Yeah, be more open to that.
Yeah, or like when something happens at work that is really stressful, and we can start to like be like, oh, this is what's going on actually in my body, and here's what I can do to actually shift that.
Yeah, and I think too, it's when you were speaking to that, I feel like it's so, even earlier when we were talking about how you were like, we're going to change our whole life in the next month, you know? And then what I think happens is we have one off day and we bake 12 cookies and eat 6, you know? That's something I would have done in the past. Like, and then be like, oops, I ruined it. I guess I don't have to do it anymore.
Yes.
I'll start
next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday.
Like during Lent. That's what I would always do.
And so I feel like, can you speak to like how you help people overcome that mentality as well? Mm-hmm. Like, or understanding that like you're not ruining your energy just because you made a hiccup, or you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to give up completely. Like, how do you guide people through that sort of thing? Like the all or nothing mindset.
Yeah. So I actually have like a whole model of like, an overindulgence model. So it's like, you know, overeating, but it can also be, I just spent 6 hours watching Netflix and now it's 2 a.m. and I am getting up at 7 and, you know, now my life is just spiraling, right? Same with like, you know, I've been on Instagram for like an hour and what just happened? And like, we start to feel guilt, right? We start to feel like, oh my gosh, like I should have done better. And so there are different points of the cycle in the cycle of like overindulgence where most of the time we think that we need to stop it before it happens. But in order to stop that pattern, that cycle, there are multiple different places that we can actually get out of it, including after the fact. So if we tend to have that cycle and then feel a lot of guilt and shame around it, that guilt and shame will perpetuate the cycle. It will literally make us do the cycle again. Psychologically, that's how it works. It's the weirdest thing, but that is true. Like that is, we can't actually guilt ourselves into long-term change. We can willpower our way to short-term change, but we can't actually guilt our way into having a sustainable change over time. And so what we want to do then is to kind of maybe just like put a hand on your heart and be like, okay, what just happened? Like, what led me to overeat in that way? Or what made this happen? Rather than be like, oh my God, I suck. Like, I just don't have the willpower. Like, everyone else seems to have it together and I just can't get it together, which was what I would think all the time. And so coming to that place and being like, oh, actually, here's what led up to that. Here's why it happened. Now you not only have that compassion for yourself, but also you have knowledge for the future to be like, oh, this thing is happening again. I can actually do something different this time. So we've got the compassion and then we've got like data points. We've got data for future interactions with food or whatever overindulgence we've had. And so that's one of the parts of the cycle that we can get out. And another part of the cycle is like in the middle of it where we're like, I'm eating the third cookie right now.
Right? This is a bad idea.
Yeah. Do I really want the third cookie?
Right,
which was
yeah.
like the pros, right? Like I think that
right.
that was a big one for me, like getting curious. Do I really want the third cookie or am I just eating the cookie?
Yes.
Like, am I just reaching the cookie because it's there?
And can
it's like,
I enjoy
oh, am I actually
it?
Complete?
Yeah.
You yes. know?
And like, can I give myself oh, I'm allowed to eat this next cookie.
Yeah.
Fully, I am allowed. I'm allowed to eat it.
Yeah.
Then do I actually want it?
Yeah.
Like,
do
if
I
I'm
still want it?
To,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. If I'm really, truly allowed to, do I want it? The answer might be yes. Cool.
Yeah.
That's still going to break the cycle. It's going to break the pattern of that like deprivation binge cycle of I'm not allowed to have it, but seems so good. Like, that's going to break the cycle when we actually allow ourselves, I can have this at any time. So something I like to say around the holidays is like, you know, sometimes people overindulge in stuff because they're like, well, it only comes around once a year. And so I want to have as much as I possibly can of it. And I'm like, what if you made it next week?
Like, but like, have it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have it again. Make it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. If that's what you really want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you gave yourself permission to have it all year round? So that's huge. Like, when people start to understand that, it makes a really massive difference. And I really love I really love working with my clients over the holidays because they're like, oh my God, this was the best
holiday,
like, Halloween ever, or this was the best Christmas ever, or whatever holiday it is. They're like, because I feel I don't hate myself. Like,
yeah.
Hate is a strong word too, but like, I don't feel guilty the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm allowing myself, and not just like, I'm just like going to town on everything. And like, because that also doesn't make us feel good. That makes us feel crappy. Like, it just like physiologically, like we just don't feel as good. And so if we can actually tune in, tap in, the word for health in Ayurveda is called svastha. And it means health. And it also means the breakdown of the actual word svastha means to be seated in the self. So when we can just be fully seated in ourselves, that is the ultimate health.
Woo! That's a great place to stop.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
I know. We could talk forever about this. It's so good.
That's my goal for people. That's what I want, is get seated in the self.
Love so that. Good. As we start to wrap up this episode, one thing that we always ask all of our podcast guests is bringing it back to you, because I think it's so important for us to also hear, what is the next step or the next evolution or the next era or where in your life can you step into more of your fullest express self?
I love this question because I'm like constantly thinking about that as a pit.
Yeah.
as a driven person.
A lot of fire.
For me, this next chapter is about being seen and allowing myself to be seen more. And so sharing more openly and vulnerably, but also just like more, even more consistently. You know, I like sharing on social media and being on podcasts and that kind of thing. That's where I really want to up level in this next season for me.
I love that.
That's so great. I think there's this running theme today.
Yeah.
Of people really craving to be seen. And I think there's like different levels of being seen, right? Like, how do I let myself be seen in relationship? How do I let myself be seen through my business? How do I let myself be seen in just life in general, like at the grocery store? You know what I mean? Like, there's different areas of life where you can be seen. And I'm so excited for you because it seems like you're really stepping into your next big era of you.
Totally. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun. It's, and you know, I've had iterations of this, but it's, yeah, it feels like another up level, which is so fun.
So good.
Yeah.
We're holding the vision for
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I think we can both say this conversation has been fire. I mean, you bring a lot of energy.
Literally sawyer and
literally fire.
Fire.
And I want to reflect back to you, like, how beautiful it is that you let yourself be seen on this podcast, because I feel like you just brought so much energy to this room and like really lit us up. So thank you for bringing your fullest expression today as you shared like all the gifts and knowledge and value with the listeners.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, all the social medias. I am Happy Healthy Hadley, and Hadley is spelled with two E's. So H-A-D-L-E-E. And happyhealthyhadley.com. I've got, you know, my offerings and stuff on there as well. And yeah, come say hi, DM me. I love like actually connecting with people. Like my whole thing is I just love people and I love to actually have that interaction. So
yeah, amazing. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes too, so people can click.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.